This episode of the Jason Sloan Radio Show is brought to you by Outdoors First Media. Check them out at outdoorsfirst.com. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Jason Sloan Radio Show, podcast number 47. We're coming in the middle of April, and you know what that means. That means PMTT, and that means guys that want to get out and do some musky fishing where they can't usually do it. It's Cave Run every year for I don't know how many years. They set the standard down there for spring fishing. Why not get Greg Thomas on the line, you know? I mean, that's who guys want to hear from about this kind of thing. How you doing tonight, Mr. Thomas?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Hey, if you want to come up and drill through 30 inches of ice after you're done with that tournament, you've always got an open invite.
I seen on the weather you guys are supposed to get another winter storm or something.
Yeah, it's coming in tonight. They backed off a little bit. It's not as bad as it's supposed to be. They're calling for like 8 inches of snow, but with 40-mile-an-hour winds. And we're right on that line where we could get a foot. And, of course, everybody here is hoping for less. We just had enough of this stuff, but that's what you deal with when you live up here.
I guess. It was 76 here today and sunny, and I got my first good sunburn, so that was fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting some windburn in the next few days. It almost looks the same.
Yeah, it feels the same, looks the same, hurts
exactly.
The same.
And everyone's like, you just went on vacation. It's like, no, I was just in St. Germain, you know?
No, I just went outside.
But anyway, let's talk a little about, your off season. We'll start out with, we'll get through this, off season with the shows and, how are the sports shows for Muskies doing now? I haven't been to one in a little while. I used to do them all, but how are they holding up?
They're doing pretty well. I mean, they're still a core group. You know, we're seeing a lot more at the shows, the basement small batch bait makers that are coming in with some real nice, you know, cool paint jobs, more of an artsy look to the stuff. And so we're seeing more of those guys coming in, which it seems to bring more of a younger crowd, which is nice. It's
right.
No longer a... You know, I used to compare musky shows to an Activia commercial. it was just, you know, it was getting older and older. And I'm like, oh, my God, we got to get some younger people here. And we did see that. It seems that some more younger people were showing up. So that was nice to see. And everything was good. And you know, this year being our first year with Musky Hunter Magazine, it was kind of a whole new look for us because, you know, trying to run both guide service booth and, you know, the magazine booth was a challenge. But we did it okay. We got some ideas for next year, but we were able to kind of get it going.
Yeah, that's something I want to go back to, obviously, with the recent taking over Musky Hunter Magazine. But, yeah, so as far as younger crowd, yeah, that's great to see. And you see guys like the Kramer brothers and the Lake X guys that are putting some innovative stuff out there. And it's kind of weird to think that, you know, the Ty Sennett's and the Greg Thomas's, Chad Kane's and Mark Lajewski's, we're not the young guns anymore, are we?
Ugh. No, I just turned 40 this year. So we're definitely not the young guns, but at least, you know, at least I think I have a gun. but we're, you know, hanging in there, and it's nice to see some younger guys coming in. And, you know, I love seeing the innovations. I love seeing the new baits that come out and the new ideas, and I'm all about it. I believe in, evolution and things kind of make, kind of a transition and a process. And I love seeing all the new stuff and even new guys coming in. It kind of keeps the fire in your belly.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things when I found out that you and Tony had taken over Musky Hunter Magazine. And this isn't a rip on Musky Hunter at all from what they did with Sarek and Booker and all that, but I really wanted to see, or I was hoping to see, maybe some new blood. Maybe that's the best way to put it, to come in there and, you know, maybe look at some new stuff and get some younger voices in that. Now, as far as the magazine goes, what changes in format are you doing, or are there any changes, or
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. You know, one of the goals that I had with taking it over was, you know, one, get the covers more, you know, actual fish, actual pictures, a little more dramatic in the cover department. And then as far as the format goes, what we did is we've really shortened the articles into more of just columns. And,
right,
you know, the magazine used to be seven, you know, full length 2000 word articles. And that's fine. And that served its purpose. But it just seems like not nobody, but a lot of people just got tired of reading those long, drawn out articles when, you know, and I'm guilty of it. I've written some that I could have said the same thing in 700 words.
Right.
You know, and so that's what we did is we're doing a lot more of the columns. And I think that's going to be the big and kind of the new improvement of it. Because I mean, and they're going to be, you know, information based, like, you know, we're doing, for example, John Betty of Stealth Leaders, he's actually going to he's been writing a leader column for us. We got Matt Hagee from up in Eagle River. He's been writing a real column for us. We've got a Muskies on the Budget column, which we're all trying to figure out how to do that.
Impossible.
Exactly. Quit. And we got, you know, we're still doing about 3 to 4 full length articles. But we're just trying to shorten things up. You know, I'm trying, this new issue, the June, July, we're just finishing it up. Hopefully I'll have a proof from Steve here next week. You know, we've got we added 3 more columns to this one. I just keep adding columns until Steve yells at me. That's usually what I do. and this one, we added we're going to add a fly fishing column. For the fly fishermen, we've been getting asked a lot about that. We're adding a Shield Lake column, you know, talking about the Shield and the different Shield Lakes, and then we're doing a Reservoir column as well. So it's pretty interesting, and guys seem to like what we're doing. We're also doing a lake spotlight in each issue, where we actually have a Lake Master map that Lake Master has given us license to use. And we get 3 to 4 pros or 3 to 4 guides that fish that lake to maybe write a little bit about how to go about approaching it. And that's really went well. We've got in June, July, we're going to have the Chippewa flowage. And
nice.
That one seems to be coming along really nice. So it's good. The magazine's got a whole different look to it, a whole different feel to it. It's not anything like the old magazine. The only thing is it puts more work on me because instead of having 7 writers per issue, I've got like 21. So, I have to hunt people down and do that, but I want shorter stuff and I'm not too aggravating, unless I need to be. It's good. And we're doing a lot more social media stuff with Instagram and Facebook and trying to get more involved that way. And, hoping to get the website redone. But when we took this over, we knew this was going to be a year to 2 year process to do everything we want, just simply because of the money and, you know, the transition. And we didn't know, you know, with the magazine, it's going to take some turns and twists and, you know, you got to try stuff to see if it works, and some stuff don't work and some stuff does work.
Yeah. And the whole thing is staying fresh. You know, that's what I said, you know, not that the old magazine was bad, but sometimes you need to have something new. And I mean, your photos you take are off the charts good. And that's nice that you're going to be featuring them, you know, like cover photos, more action shots, exciting.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I just think the magazine, it wasn't that it wasn't good, but I thought it kind of got a little stale.
Right.
And
I agree.
It needed a kick in the pants, and Jim had been doing it a long time. And, you know, anything, change is good. And throwing a few extra things out there and you know, shaking things up a little bit's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. And then, you know, that's something I saw years ago, and this is, you know, when Maxim magazine came out, they were the first ones that did those columns where they had shorter, and this was actually before all of our attention spans have been shortened by the internet, obviously. You know, I have a hard time sitting down and watching a movie, you know, for 2 hours now. I always say that the kids nowadays, they've got no attention span, all that, and I'm guilty of that as well. So that shorter format with columns is actually great. I mean, that's the way you have to go because, as you know, I'm sure that print media is, you know, I don't want to say dying, but it's not as popular as it once was as far as newspapers. So you have to look at it and reformat it. And I think going to columns, like you said, and having, yeah, some tech articles and all of this, and then have a lake thing, that's great. That's a hell of a move.
Yeah, no, it is. And just getting the shorter stuff and getting everything in there that needs to be gotten in there, to me, is a huge part. And actually, trying to focus more on individual things and not have everything super, super flowery. I mean, we're just trying to make it all work and all work together.
Well, I don't know if you remember in the old Outdoor Lifes when Patrick McManus would write a column on the back page, and it was a fiction thing where it was a story and it was an ongoing story. You know, it was like you took a short book and you had that. And I always thought that was kind of neat. It was like a column on the back page that was an ongoing story, which I thought was neat. So maybe look into that a little bit. But I also like the whole thing with new authors and seeing some different stuff with, you know, maybe some kid out of Virginia or that's catching muskies down there or whatever, a Tennessee guy. To read a column from that guy is great, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that we wanted because, you know, we travel a lot. When I say we, me and Tony, and we talk to guys from all over the country. And one of the things is we have the demographics of, you know, subscribers to Muskie Hunter and broken down by state. And, you know, it is a lot of your Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois. And there's not a lot of, you know, other, you know, of your southern states and stuff like that. There are some subscribers, but there's not as many as we'd like. And it was always, if you ask the guys, it was like, well, there's very little written about what we do. And so we're trying to change that. You know, we're not going to overload it with southern stuff because we don't think it needs to be, but right. We are going to introduce a little more of it. I think every issue is going to have a little bit about it in there and you know, but just the same, we're going to have, you know, we're going to try to cover the entire spectrum of muskie fishing. And one thing with that, we've added 20 pages to the magazine.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, our goal is to keep it in that 76 to 84 page range and, you know, get as much stuff in there as we can. As long as the advertising dollars come through, we're good to go with it. It just make it more of a publication that is, you know, the true muskie magazine, you know, that if it's, you know, in the fall, you know, we're going to have, you know, hopefully stuff in there that talks Canada, that talks, you know, northern, you know, either Wisconsin, Minnesota, and it talks down south somewhere, you know, so everybody can get something from the magazine.
Well, it's also something, too, where you pull up an article from a guy in Virginia that's refined a river technique or something, and then the guy in northern Wisconsin that fishes a river can take some stuff from that, so it's not necessarily, well, I'm never going to go to Virginia or Tennessee and fish a river. There are some things that these guys maybe figured out that a guy in northern Minnesota or northern Wisconsin can benefit from.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff, and you know, like I said, I'm very, 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 very big on innovation and very, very big on the process and the evolution of techniques. And, you know, one of the things I've always said, the reason I love the PMTT is I get to go and I get to fish lakes and against guys that do stuff completely different than me, but it works. And it gives me the idea or the confidence to say, okay, in this situation, maybe this is something to try and, you know, same thing when you're reading articles in magazines. You know, I always enjoyed reading other species magazines to see what they were doing.
Right.
And I think that now, you know, with Muskie Hunter, we have the ability to write and to focus and spotlight things that, you know, guys are doing all over the country, and you might be able to apply it to your waters at home.
Yeah, that was one of the things back when the old Esox Angler magazine that you and I both were involved with back in the day a little bit, mm-hmm. and when they added the walleye section, a lot of people got angry. And from my point of view, I was always thinking, well, they didn't take away any musky stuff. They added walleye stuff, and why not learn more about the ecosystem you're fishing? Now, obviously, a lot of the southern waters don't have walleyes, but a lot of the northern ones do. And I'm like, why wouldn't you want to learn? You know, a lot of the best musky fishermen up here, they're also very good walleye fishermen, very good ice fishermen, very good deer hunters, all this stuff. So you're learning about just the outdoors. And, you know, I mean, not that you're doing multi-species in your magazine, but mm-hmm. to learn about muskies in a different area, that just helps you. I mean, come on, you know, if someone's doing something on St. Clair that's killing it, well, maybe that works on Lake Tomahawk in northern Wisconsin. Who knows, right?
Yeah, well, let's face it. I mean, we're musky fishermen. We like to bitch. and I think that comes down to it a lot. You know, I'm guilty of it. We all are.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it's, and the other thing too is with musky fishing, something we'd like to get rid of is some of the elitist mentality of it. And I think that, you know, something that me and Tony have always pushed and for the last 20 years is, and it's worked very successfully for me and my guiding and everything we've done is networking, you know, I mean, and you talk to some of the best guides and fishermen out there, you know, networking's a big part of it, you know, leaning on friends and stuff to see what's happening in certain areas and all that. And, you know, you can't, you know, everybody gets skunked. That's part of the game. And everybody has off days, but you know what? You got to learn from them, and if you can network with some people, then you know what? It's gonna pay off in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you and Tony, I've known both you guys for what now 2002, so about 17 years. I mean, you guys have never struck me as anywhere close to being elitist, and most of the really
stupid.
No, but most of the really good muskie anglers, the guys boots on the ground, local guys, they're not like that. It's, but there are, I mean, there is that attitude. I mean, I'm agreeing with you there, but a lot of the really good guys aren't that way. And yeah, to tap into that a little bit, I mean, most guys are willing to share. I mean, obviously if you're in a tournament the night before the tournament, you're not going out and telling everybody what you're doing if you're on fish, but yeah, it seems like at the PMTs and some of these, I mean, great crowd, super nice crowd, never really got any attitude for the most part, and always good. And then one thing with the something different for you, maybe taking over the Muskie Hunter, are you guys in charge of the merchandising as well with all of the shirts and sweatshirts? Are you guys dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm a regular Versace man. I'm trying to figure out that, but yeah, I'm doing, we're in charge of all that stuff.
Yeah. Cause that's gotta be a big part. Cause I mean, you go to a muskie show or you go to any tournament and Muskie Hunter, hoodies and t-shirts all over the place and hats. And so that's gotta be a decent amount of, or for selling, I mean, you gotta stay on top of that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, besides subscriptions and ad revenue, I mean, that's basically how we generate income. And so, no, and we're doing a lot of different stuff with that, trying to make that a big part of what we're doing. Because, you know, I mean, it's a huge part of us and how we market things and get things going. And, you know, I'm coming up with new designs, and we have a couple companies we work with designers that send me stuff, and, you know, and we're trying to freshen it up a little bit, make it a little more modern, the designs, and, you know, even the products. We're going to a lot more of the performance gear. We're going to some of the retro stuff that's in right now, and and just trying to find different things. And we get approached by people with stuff, and it's a big part, you know. I mean, that's a big part of it for us, and the Muskie Hunter brand is very good, so we just hope not to screw it up.
Well, I certainly don't think you'll screw it up, and it is something, talking about that performance gear, you know, I started wearing some of that stuff the last few years, and boy, for the sun protection and stuff like that, this isn't an advertisement for the stuff, but I mean, the stuff is great, the clothing now, because you look at the someone like a flats guy down in Florida or the Keys, man, they're covered up. They're not in shorts with no shirt on. They're covered up for this stuff.
They're not like me today.
Yeah.
Like me today. It was like, you know, I'm rolling around in the weeds trying to find aloe to keep my freaking arms from hurting.
You should know better than that by now, right? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Who knows?
But then, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, the performance stuff is really nice. It does keep you, I don't understand how the stuff works, but you know, you can wear it even though it's sunny and hot, but not be hot.
Right.
Yourself, you're not sweating your butt off and still cool, to wear and everything. And we're trying to keep up with the times there, and then, change some of the t-shirt stuff up and then bring on a few more women's lines. We got, quite a few women muskie fishing now and stuff. And we got our kids stuff as well. I'm going to bring in the kids' performance as well. And so it's definitely busy. I mean, that's one thing Tony says. He goes, well, clothing's your job. And I'm like, oh, great. So we're going through it.
Is there going to be any kind of an online or like issue or something online, or is it just going to be print?
There is an online issue right now. You can go to the website muskiehunter.com and you can do it right there, and you will get through Magster, and you can do an online membership or online subscription. Personally, I don't like the one that we have right now.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine. It works fine, and people buy it and all that, but we're looking at some different platforms to eventually change to. But again, that's something that, you know, probably over the summer and into fall that we'll be looking at a little more. No, we do have it. I mean, you can subscribe online and get it on your tablet, on your smartphone. I don't think you can get it on your Atari, but you can get it on everything else.
Well, shit. Well, I can't get it then. But anyway, yeah, there's something about, I always said, you know, in the kind of being, I don't want to say old school because that's overused, but I like having the magazine in my hand to read it. But
yep.
I know that a lot of people now, be it a book, a newspaper, whatever, they want that on their tablet, you know, so that's kind of the way that things trend and all that. But anyway, let's move on to the Cave Run PMT. Coming up, and you just said you had some really nice the weather there, and it looks like that storm that's coming, is that going to miss you guys go over the north of you?
It looks like we're probably going to get some on Sunday. It looks like we're going to get some rain. Now Friday we're supposed to get Friday evening, and we might get some rain and some wind down here, but I don't think it's going to be awful. Today was beautiful. It was calm. It was sunny. It was great. Tomorrow's supposed to be a little bit of wind, but not much, and supposed to be like 83 tomorrow.
Nice.
So, yeah, and then cool down for Friday, and then I think over the weekend, though, we're still supposed to be in the mid-upper 60s, so it's not going to be bad at all.
Right, that's doable. And then what are the current water levels you're looking at down there on the cave?
Oh, we're high, but it's actually not bad. I mean, they've been dropping this thing pretty hard. I mean, I think if we do get a bunch of rain, if they threaten a bunch of rain, they'll probably shut the dam back. But today, it was like right up about 5 feet high, which for us is nothing. It looks like, though, it's probably going to be four. That's dropping almost a foot a day. So it'll probably be about four two in the morning. And, you know, it just depends. So, I mean, it's going to be high, but I mean, it could only be, if they don't shut anything off, it may only be like a foot or 2 foot high.
Gotcha. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's actually, you know, for down there, I've been down there when we're fishing in parking lots.
Oh yeah.
And all that. Oh, I'm sure you've seen that plenty too. And, where are you guys sitting in the process of the spawn right now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, down here, these fish, you know, the water's not clear, so you really can't tell. You know, you can't really, like, see fish spawning. I do think that I think that we have fish that are spawning, fish that are done spawning, and fish that haven't spawned. The fishing's actually been pretty good. Bigger fish haven't been showing up, but just catching fish has been pretty good. Today, I was fishing with a friend of mine, and I was just trying some different stuff and missed two fish. You know, guiding wise up, you know, yesterday guiding, we got five, probably three measurable fish. And day before that we got four and again, a couple of measurable fish there. I mean, 30 fish over 30 inches, you know, the small males are moving up. And
right.
So, and there's been some fish caught. I've seen a couple fish caught today by us, in the upper 30 range. So there are definitely fish being caught. And, you know, if they give, they're giving that front coming in Saturday night, I mean, Saturday could be, they're talking light winds. I mean, Saturday might be a slug fest.
Right, and are you looking at more, you know, this time of year, you cast in the shorelines, or is it a trolling bite like you get, or is it a little bit of both? What's going on down there?
It's both. I mean, guys, today I seen catch fish for casting, but, you know, we've been getting them both ways. We casted today all day, and like I said, missed a couple fish. You know, it seems to definitely be whatever, you know, there's fish being caught both ways. I mean, I can't, the guys that don't like to troll, they're getting fish, and guys that do like to troll, they're getting fish. So, I think, you know, like I said, I think if this front coming in on Saturday, I think it might be a good deal.
Nice. Nice. And, yeah, that was always a thing down there. It seemed that you could fish or catch fish any way you wanted. You know, there's guys catching them both ways, and I think the Micklegs brought in a fish, you know, casting 20 feet of water with a bulldog, when everybody was shallow, so it's kind of all over the board down there. And as far as the cave goes, what do you see it on population trends down there, like population size? Is it pretty steady down there? You know, like up here we get a lot of ebb and flow. You know, you get lakes that are hot for a few years, and then they die off and all that. What's the trend looking like down there for the cave?
It's looking good, actually. It seems like there's quite a few fish in it now. As far as, like, big fish, it's always the way it is. You know, we're not known for our big ones, but we have got a lot of fish up to 40 inches. And then, you know, there's always, you know, 7 or 8 50-inch fish caught in the lake every year. So I think we're always setting good. The stocking's been good. The fish are definitely growing all right. And you know, to me, this has been a really good spring. I've had way worse, and especially with all the high water we've had. I started guiding with 25 feet of water up.
Wow.
So, and, you know, we've caught a lot of fish this spring, a lot. I've not had too many skunk days. I've had a few, but not as many as I thought I was going to have.
Now, just so. Generally speaking, about when is a good time to, you know, for the guys that travel down there or you local guides, when is kind of the time when you stop fishing it because of high water temps?
Usually that second week of June or so. I mean, it all depends every year. It all varies.
Right.
But it's kind of that second week, second, third week of June is kind of when the water gets too warm. So, but it's like I said, every year it changes a little bit.
Right. And are there any new lures on the market this year that you're excited to try?
Anything new? Oh, put me on the spot. I'm trying to think. You know, I go around the shows and I look, and I never do get to see everything. Everything that's out there. So, you know, there's a lot of new colors. I mean, that's the thing for me is a ton of new colors on stuff. Oh man, I'm trying to think if there's any.
Well, what's the name of that innovations bait? That's that big bait with the paddle tail. What's the name of that? I'm forgetting.
Oh, they've got that shallow swimming dog.
Yeah, how have you done on that? Because I've looked at that for my trolling up here. How is that lure?
It trolls actually pretty good. I've done well on the regular swimming dog, which is the thinner one and stuff.
Right.
I've done well on those, and those have been really good baits. And the Poseidons from Chaos Tackle, they do well as well. Those have been good lures. Any of the rubber stuff, man. I mean, there's just a lot more rubber stuff coming out, and
right.
And all the rubber stuff I really do like. I mean, one thing about Muskie Innovations is they've got that new that ultra flash finish on the Bulldogs and the
yep.
and all their baits, and that looks really, really cool. We actually, this last issue of Muskie Hunter, the newest issue that's out right now, the bait that's in the fish's mouth on the cover, it's actually a Muskie Hunter exclusive. You can get that on, the only place you can buy that is on Muskie Innovations website. And it's kind of an ultra flash walleye made up for me last year, and it did really, really well.
Yeah, have you tried any of the Livingston lures with that live bait whatever ultrasound stuff? I've tried some of the smaller stuff for bass and pike and have done quite well. I haven't tried any of the musky stuff. Have you tested any of that?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't. I've seen a lot of them, but I have not actually thrown one myself. I'm sure they're good baits. I just haven't used them myself, and they look like nice lures. I don't know how the sound stuff works, but they do look nice.
Yeah, yeah, and we've done quite well on other species with them, so I'm excited to give the musky lures a go. And then after the cave, where do you head now? I mean, I know you do St. Clair, and was just wondering if you still do northern Minnesota, or where are you off to after
the
cave?
I'll typically go starting about mid-June. I'll go to Lake St. Clair, and I'll stay up in the lovely city of Detroit for till about the middle of September, and then mid-September, mid to late, I'll go to Detroit Lakes area up there in western Minnesota, and I'll fish that for like 7 weeks until like early November, mid-November, depending on the temperatures. And then I'll come back and do a couple more weeks on St. Clair, and then I hibernate.
Gotcha.
That's pretty much how the season works for me.
And what's your favorite place to fish? Out of all the places you fish, what's your favorite? You know, I mean, taking out obviously St. Clair, you probably get the biggest fish, but I mean, you got to stay in Detroit. But what's your favorite? You know, if you just took in, I'm enjoying myself. What's that place?
You know, there's a lot of places like that. I the way I've always ran my service is that I always try to be on the best places at the best times, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so it's pretty much, in the spring, I love it down here. In the summer, it's hard to beat St. Clair. But the other thing too, is I still enjoy, I don't get a chance to go to Canada, the Northwest Ontario, stuff, the Lake of the Woods like I used to, but that's one thing I'm hoping to get back into a little bit, and that's always a nice place to be. And even for me, fishing the tournament, Eagle River is always fun, just because to me it's kind of that traditional, everything's kind of musky based, and it's a neat atmosphere, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's great. I remember that one year I had a nice looking lady that wanted to meet you up here, but you were too focused on fishing. Yeah. So, what's going to win the PMT and Cave Run? If you had to make a thing, is it going to be four fish? Is it going to be a couple of big ones? And obviously this is, I mean, who knows what
the
weather's going to bring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure somebody's going to get a big one, but as always down here, give me three 36 inchers and I'll be awful happy.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'd say it'll be a three to four fish tournament. But I'm telling you, if that front moves in on Saturday night, there'll be, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't quite a few fish caught in and a couple guys having a couple of 40 inchers. It just depends on what this weather does. You know, I mean, these fish do get very, very active and ornery around the weather. So if it was going to be just straight sunny and nothing this weekend, then I would say, you know, maybe multiple fish, three fish and leave it at that, and, you know, a couple big ones. But if we get this front on Saturday, like they're saying, there it might take, you know, it might take quite a bit.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to sign off at that and hang on line for a second. And hey, I just want to thank Greg Thomas for coming on and talking about this. This is a timely fashion to get this one in before the Cave Run PMT. I know a lot of guys are interested in that. And hey, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. And see you on the flip side. That's the way it goes, boys.